Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. If your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine, and most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
You have tuned into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. Energy medicine is a method of working with the body's energy systems to help create balance for optimal health and wellness. Remember, everything is energy, and energy is everywhere. Energies control how you feel, what you think, and how you live. Energy is all there is. The topic today is the physicality of emotional energy. Emotional energy often gets stuck in our cells, fascia, and joints. If this stuck energy is not released, a physical manifestation usually develops. Physical symptoms caused by emotional traumas or damaging thought patterns are psychosomatic, indicating a mind-body connection. The more difficult an emotional issue is to release, the greater the likelihood the emotional energy will get stuck in the body. Emotional factors induce the development of most organic illnesses. Stress or emotional issues cause more than 90% of illness today. Therefore, physical symptoms of an illness cannot be separated from a person's emotional life. Combining an energy balancing with the client's emotional issue promotes not only release of the emotional issue, but also reduction or elimination of the physical symptoms. Releasing stuck emotional energy frees our bodies and minds so that we can live radiantly. I am honored to have Donna Kemper with me today. Donna Kemper has been on the Eden Energy Medicine Certification Program faculty since its inception in 2005. After discovering Donna Eden in 2002, Donna Kemper realized energy medicine was the missing piece to her private hypnotherapy practice. She feels blessed to share the valuable teachings from Donna Eden and others to clients and students. Her private session goals are not only to uncover the root cause of energy imbalance, but also the emotional link. Reframing old negative ideas, attitudes, or belief systems is also important to releasing stuck energy and empowering the client. Donna blends the best features of chemical hypnotherapy, which is a combination of NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, Ericksonian hypnosis, inner child work, Jungian psychology, and shamanism with energy psychology or emotional freedom technique, and energy medicine as taught by Donna Eden. Donna Kemper has also helped people with allergies, irritable bowel syndrome, post-traumatic stress disorder, sleeping and eating problems, phobias, low self-esteem, infertility, smoking, unhealthy relationships, and pre-surgery anxiety. Welcome, Donna.
Hi, thank you, Ann. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we are so happy to have you here because we know that you have a different way of dealing with energy and emotional issues, and we're going to be able to share that today with all of our listeners.
Great.
Now, I thought before we started, I don't have a website for you. Do you want to tell the listeners what your website is?
Yes, it's just my name, www.energymedicine.com. Donna Kemper, all one word, .com.
Okay, very good. So, Donna, how did you discover energy medicine, and how has that changed your life and career?
Well, I won't go into the long story of it, but suffice it to say that I just happened to be visiting an old friend that I hadn't seen for years, who just happened to have just completed a weekend training with Donna Eden at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, and she was just flying high from the experience, as we all did the first time we saw Donna in person, right? So she was telling me all about it, and she said, I know she's got like a 5-day training coming up. I don't know where or when, but Donna, I know you would love it. So that was kind of all I needed to hear. So 2 weeks later, I found myself in Miami at my first 5-day with 100 other people being mesmerized by this angel, this woman who just had a message to impart with such passion and enthusiasm that I just got hooked right in and just wanted to know more.
So she connected to your heart, I bet.
She connected to my heart, but what more than that, Anne, what she said made sense. And nobody had ever presented it to me in that way before. It just made sense. I got the premise or the essence of what she was talking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I definitely had that experience also when I met Donna.
Right.
So with your knowledge of hypnotherapy, how do you combine hypnotherapy with energy medicine?
Well, I see hypnotherapy as a form of energy medicine because I'm striving to release the negative charge that some old memory or trauma has been having on the person. So we do it through different techniques, through the chakras or the meridians in energy medicine. In the hypnotherapy, I try to get people in the memory and be able to emote what they had to suppress as a child. Usually it goes back to childhood. So if you get a client that just isn't comfortable or just isn't the emotive type, and when I'm talking about emoting, I mean I want crying, screaming, kicking, punching, whatever they need to do to get it out of the system. But a lot of people don't feel comfortable expressing in that way. And so energy medicine gave me tools to help move that energy through in other ways.
So how do you approach your energy medicine sessions then?
Well, that would depend on if it's a first-time client or somebody who's been coming on some kind of regular basis. Let's say it's a new client. I just do a pretty thorough intake and pretty much start them at the beginning with the foundational systems, you know, walking backwards and forwards, smashing their nose, the usual things we do to test for those basic energy systems. If it's somebody who's, you know, been coming for a while, then I want to know what exercises they have been doing, what's working for them, what's not, and, you know, what's new or different in their lives. So I do a lot of talking. I ask a lot of questions, and then I look for cues and clues from the client to help guide me how to proceed from there. No two sessions are alike, Anne. No two sessions are alike. Even if I think I have an agenda for the client, it goes out the window once they come in because their needs really guide the session.
I know what you're talking about. I
hope other people do too.
Yeah, we learn certain things, but you know, when somebody comes and presents a whole different set of situation, we're still using our intuition and trying to connect on that level to see how we can get things to move. But we can't always get things to move.
One of the questions that I find most helpful, though, if they're not clear on what they want to work on that particular day, I'll say, well, what would you like to leave here with today?
That's a good question, yeah.
And that really helps me decide how I'm going to go in. Some people might just say, you know, I just need to talk it out. I just need to hear myself talk. And other people might say, I just don't want this racing in my heart or, you know, something more specific like that.
Mm-hmm. So you listen very carefully to the language that the client uses during the question and answer period.
I do. I try to. Because they'll tell you. You know, if I feel stuck if I just keep repeating what they just said or finding a new question to ask, eventually they will just say what I need to hear to know what to do. Mm-hmm. I don't have to work so hard to figure it out.
Yeah. So what if they have guilt or fear or anger? What would that indicate to you?
Well, I would still track their energy before jumping to conclusions and find out how that shows up for them and which system it's most predominant, perhaps. But often there's another emotion underneath the one that they're presenting that needs to be dealt with first. So that's why I don't like to just assume, because they're talking about being afraid of something, that there might be something else before that you have to deal with before you get into the fear. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And, so it's not the primary issue
It may be, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, while they're communicating the problem, if they're using emotional language that indicates guilt or fear or anger, then I might choose neurovasculars as my first go-to place for the balancing if I'm balancing, you know, through the meridian system. And mm-hmm. certainly neurovasculars would be part of their home self-care in between sessions.
Yeah, because that's easy for them to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And so valuable in the case of issues that are highly emotionally charged.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so does the location of a physical ailment help you understand the emotional issue?
Sometimes I try to connect it. For example, if somebody has knee issues, I might try to ask questions to see if it seems indicative of a rigidity or a lack of flexibility, either in thought or in action. Or if somebody is talking about low back pain, I might try to connect that to, you know, how supported do you feel? I don't want to make assumptions because ultimately the client is going to reveal what it's really mm-hmm. about.
Mm-hmm. So you're just constantly asking questions for further information, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like that's mostly what I do, unless I just go right into the testing and let the energy testing, you know, guide me or tell me what I need to do.
But the client usually doesn't realize its emotional issue is underlying the physical ailment. Is that correct?
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, sometimes they get it, but often they just don't make that connection. So I encourage them to make that connection. And the way I do that actually is, say they're coming in with a knee issue. And so I'll have them really take a minute to experience it, to really tune in to what the knee is doing. Is it an ache? Is it a stabbing? You know, I say, describe it to me in a way that I can feel it too. Because usually people use language that's not really describing the physical sensation. Well, it feels like it hurts, or it feels uncomfortable. Okay, I get that, but tell me how. I want to get them into their bodies, basically, because mm-hmm. most people are just trapped in their heads, in their thoughts, in their words. Give it to me. Get into your body. What's the sensation your body's revealing to you or expressing this upset as? And mm-hmm. and that's how I start to teach them to be in their bodies more, because your body is giving you, every part of your body is, you're feeling something in there if you could only tune into it.
Mm, so there are lots of messages that we probably don't understand.
Exactly, because typically if we have something uncomfortable happening in our bodies, we're like, oh, darn, what can I do to get out of this, rather than really take the time to feel it and wonder, what is the message in this for me? If you think of the word pain as an acronym for pay attention internally now.
Oh, wow.
I try to get my clients to see that this hurt or pain or ache or this thing that they're labeling as a bad thing as a gift from their body to remind them, like I'll say, stop and ask yourself, what was I just thinking about?
Mm.
Was I thinking mm-hmm. about something negative? Was I getting myself caught up in an infinite loop of negative mind chatter that's not making me feel good? Am I worrying about a worst-case scenario? And then your body gives you something. I think it's your body's way of saying, get out of that make-believe stuff and come back to the reality. The only reality in any given moment is what you're physically experiencing through your senses. What you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you're feeling, either tactilely or sensing. That's your only undisputable truth in any given moment. But the other things that you're telling yourself are just your conjecture, your projection, your assumptions. And they're really not based on truth.
Right. But most people just go to the medicine cabinet and get the Advil or the Tylenol.
Right,
to help
because
with pain.
They think that they need to be out of the pain, that pain is a bad thing and something to get rid of. Well, yeah, nobody wants to be in pain. I'm not suggesting that people don't take a pain med if they're, you know, really uncomfortable. However, sometimes just putting your full attention on the pain, and I don't care if it's a headache, I don't care if it's a sudden stabbing pain in your shoulder, if you start putting your full attention on it and breathing into it, it might totally shift. It might move to another place. It might reduce. It might totally subside because your body is just begging you to pay attention internally now.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, I was going to say breathing into it would be good, but actually what I wanted to bring up with that going into the medicine cabinet is that at least these people that are coming to you aren't doing that.
Or they're preferring not to. They're looking for another alternative.
Right. So
they
They
have had it with the medicines. They just don't want to do it that way anymore.
Yeah, and the medicine just takes care of the symptoms, but it doesn't go to the underlying issue, which is the emotional issue. Okay, so let's break for a minute or two, and we'll be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
In your family, what is most important to you? Is it health? Relationships? How about getting along better with your kids or your parents? Maybe it has to do with losing pounds or gaining financially. Whatever the problems you face in your family, you'll want to tune in to Family First with your host, author, and speaker, Randy Rolfe. Since 1985, Randy has become the foremost expert on matters concerning the family, and she can help you. Family First airs live every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
If you have a child in your life with autism, there may be a lot of questions that you need answered. What if your child has recently been diagnosed? Or maybe you have a question about treatment that your child is currently undergoing. For answers to these and more, tune into Autism Spectrum Radio. Our guests will include parents and experts to discuss current experiences, treatments, and breakthroughs for those living with autism. Listen every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we are talking to Donna Kemper, the physicality of emotional energy. Okay, so Donna, once you identify the potential emotional issue, do you hold that in your intention as you balance energy?
Optimally, yes, or I try to have the client focus on it. So I think that any work that you do while they're holding that thought or those thoughts in their intention will help expedite the balancing.
Mm-hmm. And have you also used toning at all? Because I know I've learned a lot about toning lately.
No, that's not something that I have learned, and that's my own hang-up with my lack of singing ability. So I haven't ventured into that realm yet. I leave that to people who really resonate with that and are drawn to doing that. But I do know that there is a lot of healing potential in sound.
Yeah. I witnessed that at the iGEM in one of the classes. And this guy, I can't remember his name, but he was from Norway, a medical doctor. And he views the future of medicine to be done in groups, where groups support an individual in getting an energetic shift and
it
by holding the intention and toning, just being in the presence of all our different, you know, collective energies. We help each other. Isn't that an amazing thought?
It is, but you know, I think communal prayer is just as powerful.
I think you're right too. Yeah, but it was just interesting from his perspective.
Right, I heard it was wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, so holding the intention, either with you, you holding the intention, or having the client holding the intention of the emotional issue, clearing the emotional issue, and then while you're balancing, holding points or neurovascular points or whatever.
But I'll also say that if they can identify the emotional issue, if all they can think about is the physicality of it, then I'll have them hold that intention. And it will still cover the emotional part of it automatically.
Okay, so the energy is all kind of racked up. Okay, so most of our energy imbalance in five rhythms or chakras has to do with emotions. And so each rhythm is associated with a different emotion, and each chakra also has a different psychological or emotional characteristic. And then you know the emotional issue because you know it's related to one of those themes. But here, you're starting with a physical ailment and try to determine the emotional issue. So there really is no direct link in this case. Is that correct?
I'm not so sure about that. Louise Hay is really the pioneer of correlating illness or body part troubles or emotional upset to a belief system that's been embedded in the subconscious. So I often use her book, You Can Heal Your Life.
Now, that's a great book, yeah.
As a reference, if I feel stuck or not so much that I feel stuck, but she has good affirmations that go with it. So if I say the affirmation to the client, I'll say, does that resonate for you? Does that make sense to you? And if they say yes, then that just validates that, yes, here's your correlation.
Mm-hmm. I guess another aspect is that, like, if we're talking about the knee, for instance, and you're talking about, well, there might be an issue of rigidity or non-flexibility or something, and that. So, is that always the case if there's a problem with the knee?
One thing I've learned doing all this kind of work is probably we shouldn't use the word always or never, because there are exceptions every time. There are exceptions. So that's why we track the energy and we don't make the assumptions. And sometimes if it doesn't seem like it's about rigidity or flexibility, although generally it is, even if we don't get the insight during that particular session, it usually comes up sometime after insight or the awareness.
So there's layers there too.
There are layers and sometimes it just doesn't reveal itself immediately. Mm-hmm. And I really preferably want the client to come up with it. I don't want I don't want to tell them what it is. I may not be right. But it's so much more powerful when they put it together.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's their experience of it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm, so interesting. Wow.
Right.
What about if the client doesn't want to let go of the emotional issue? Like, for instance, some people, you know, get attention if they're the victim or they're uncomfortable or they're undergoing stress.
That's true.
So
that's also true if it's a physical issue, you know, that their MS or their fibromyalgia could also be serving some secondary gain, and it's on a subconscious level. They're not aware of it. They're not doing it on purpose. But sometimes, you know, a physical thing can be getting them out of doing something they didn't really want to do, you know, going to the in-laws or what, you know, things like that. But people do this, you know, as a coping mechanism, or the issue, having that issue is serving them some purpose. So I believe that the body and the mind really want to be balanced, really want to move to wellness, and that people are really meant to live in joy. Doesn't Donna Eden say that all the time? We are wired for joy. And that doesn't mean that you're living in a total state of giddiness or ecstasy. It just means you're accepting where your life is now. You're accepting what is.
And your general state is of happiness and sending positive energy out in the world.
You're at peace. I would say peace more than happiness, because happiness, you know, I mean, it's hard to be happy if really you're dealing with some heavy challenges. But if you're able to make peace with it instead of letting it just take you in that downward spiral, you know, then you take the time to deal with it and then let it pass, because it will pass. Everything does pass. When you can think of like your worst day ever, thinking, how am I ever going to feel joy again? And then miraculously, some amount of time passes and you do.
Mm.
I mean, even something as devastating as 9/11, I mean, for a month, I think I was really mourning. I was in, really felt like I was grieving, and I didn't have a personal loss through that, but just the enormity of it. And really, for a month, I had no desire to listen to music or watch funny things on TV. And then and it's funny, because in a lot of cultures, 30 days is your official mourning period, and then something lifted, and I felt like I could go back to more normalcy, and it just happened organically. So you know, something happens, you do need to deal with it, you need to look at your reaction to it, but you don't want it ruling your life in a negative way or keeping you back or keeping you from getting back to your joy. But the part of the person that feels like they need to hold on to the victimhood or the illness is not, in my belief, it's not their current adult self. It's a much younger, less evolved, less mature, less life experienced child part of themselves who... It did serve them some purpose at some time. Maybe that was the only way they really got mom's attention, was when they were sick.
That's a very good point.
That's the only time mom really sat by their bedside and read them a story or brought them breakfast, you know, food, a meal in bed, and gave them that attention that they didn't feel they were getting because they were sharing with 3 or 4 or 5 other siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
yep,
so that child part is still holding on to that way of getting attention. That coping mechanism, unbeknownst to the adult part.
Right.
So a lot of times I do a lot of work, if I'm using energy medicine, with the second chakra. Why the second chakra? Because that's where your inner child resides.
Mm-hmm.
That's that youthful naivete. You know, you're
naive.
Naive. And that's what needs to be nurtured there. And to connect people with that inner child, like it's a real person living inside of them, because in a sense it is.
Yeah.
And to let the inner child know, you know, there is somebody who understands you. There is one person in the whole wide world that understands exactly what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And that's your adult self.
So would you find, like, one of the earlier layers, the earlier layers affected more than the most recent or the higher level layers of the chakra, the second chakra?
Most of the time, I feel that the issues go back to a much earlier time.
Mm.
And you're merely getting plugged in to something old when you're reacting to something, whether you're having... How often, it happens to all of us, where we react, we get really angry, something ticks us off, and we'll look back at it later, like, why did I blow up over that?
Mm,
and everybody around you was wondering, like, when did you get so bent out of shape, you know, over that? It wasn't really that, but it represented
something bigger,
something bigger, something deeper, something that had been compounded over time.
Yeah, so you tap into that energy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if we can get to the source, if we can get back to the original trauma or the original theme of trauma and expel the excess energy attached to that, you are freeing yourself from having to continue to carry that.
Mm.
You're eliminating the need to keep attracting scenarios that will plug you back into that, because your body really wants you to seal the deal on it, be done with it.
But as so when you as attract that other, when you attract that other energy or similar energy, is that a way for your body to be saying, okay, now here it is again? Is another
message.
Well,
in a way, it's supporting a belief system that you adopted a long time ago, and it might be the belief system, I never get what I want.
Mm.
Okay, maybe you were wishing for something for your birthday and you didn't get it. Oh my God, it was like the worst. I really wanted that doll and I didn't get it, and you're devastated. And then it may happen another time where you were really wishing for something, hoping for something. Maybe you wanted to be your class president and somebody else won. So again, I didn't get what I want. So eventually it becomes a belief system, and then events will unfold in your life to support that belief system. It's the law of attraction in reverse.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, yeah, it's the law of attraction. It's either positive energy or negative energy, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to the pain. So when you're doing a session on somebody, do you hold the area of the pain? Let's talk about the knee, since we started with that. So do you hold the knee and certain neurovasculars? Or?
Well, again, it depends on, you know, if it's a knee pain, I might try all the techniques. I usually try to do the easy ones first and see if I can get off easy, you know, like siphoning or chakra clearing over the pain. But no matter what I'm working on, I will say to the client, because first of all, when you have the client on the table, 90% of the time, huge percentage of the time, you have them in an altered state. Okay, you have them in trance. You have them in hypnotic trance. So it's the perfect time to start allowing the deeper layers to reveal. It's also the perfect time to implant positive suggestions for change. So what I'll say to my clients as I'm working on them is, you know, while you know, you're relaxing here, if any memories, any words, any symbols, any colors come up for you, I hope you'll be willing to share them with me. Because as they're in the relaxed state, as I am doing energy work on the area of pain, it's connecting them. It's connecting them into themselves. And and so something might pop into their mind that's relevant to the pain. It may be something that they did remember, but they never would have associated it with that pain.
Mm.
Right. That doesn't always happen that way, but it's pretty magical when it does.
Mm. So can you sense that the emotional energy has been released when it does release?
Well, often, because you see such a change in the demeanor mm-hmm. of the client, especially if the client was in a very emotional state. They might have been crying. They might have been shaking. They might have been obviously perturbed. And then when they, you see that lift. You see the body relax, whether it's mm-hmm. in the face or in the shoulders. You know, the body isn't as tight as it was. It just loosens up. And it's a wonderful thing to see because you know that something's shifted. It might not be the whole thing. It might just be a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
It just might be all that needs to be released in that particular session because you can't feel like you have to do it all in one session. That's another lesson I learned. I learned pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have props in my office that if an emotion comes up, and you know, I don't know if this has ever happened to you because you don't work maybe exactly the way I do, but a client will get in touch with a memory where they're really upset with somebody and they'll say, I just feel like I want to punch them. Well, I've got big pillows for punching. And I'll say, okay, here he is. Let him have it. You know, like with those big cushion pillows that you can lean up against. I have a big one like that so that they can punch as hard as they want. They don't hurt me, and usually they don't burst the pillow. I have had some things. Some people are really angry. And I also have foam bats if they feel like, I just want to hit them. Just want to hit that person, you know. Just want to clobber them. Whatever they're using, I'll find something to represent, you know, what it is they feel like they need to do. And it's another way to energetically release it. Although it sounds very violent, it has the effect of finally releasing that stuck emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't want to do that, then I'll hold their neurovasculars. We'll do it in a more gentle way while they think about the person.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea about shaking. I think that really helps to release energy. You know,
shaking,
physically.
Right. So I try to provide whatever it is they're asking for.
Wow, that's very good of you. I don't have things like that. I guess I should get stuff.
Well, you know, maybe it hasn't come up for you yet, and a lot of this is things that I've learned as a result of my hypnotherapy training. So
yeah,
but it's just been so useful.
So in your hypnotherapy training, you also learned how to ask the questions, probably.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's very important to just make it feel safe for people to answer these questions as they kind of go down into those issues
By the same token, some people are very private,
mm-hmm.
and they have a hard time talking about it. So then I might switch gears totally and go into the EFT. It's not really totally shifting gears, just another form of energy balancing. But then I might go into the EFT.
Okay, well, that's going to bring up a whole nother topic. So let's let's break for a commercial and we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you looking for a 21st century first aid kit? You don't have to suffer nor take on the increasing expense of healthcare. Tune in to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health. Your host, Lynn Waldrop, will show you how many common and even uncommon aches, pains, and ills can be remedied through sound, color, and light. While it may sound like these are new concepts, believe it or not, these are actually ancient methods that still make sense today. Create a healthy life. Listen Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Steps to a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You are back with Energy Medicine Optimal Health, Dr. Ann Dietley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. And we are talking to Donna Kemper about the physicality and emotional energy. And we just started talking about EFT. So why don't we go off and explain that a little bit, Donna, as another approach to kind of release emotional issues. Emotional freedom technique.
Emotional freedom technique. I often rely on that to do the job. EFT is based on a lot of the same philosophies as Eden Energy Medicine, and that is, you know, traditional Chinese medicine, because EFT is the tapping technique. We're tapping on beginning or ending points of meridians, meridians being those energy pathways that are flowing through our body, flow through our organs, while we say certain phrases pertaining to the issue that needs to be resolved. And the beauty of EFT, again, for people who aren't very emotive, which is a great way to release energy, but clearly have a lot of pent-up, unresolved negative energy inside, we literally tap it out. So I love guiding people through the EFT. People can do it for themselves, and it's great, but sometimes they sort of hit a wall, and they're not quite getting underneath of it. And so when I guide people through EFT, I say, I'm going to give you the words, but if I'm giving you the wrong words, you'll know immediately, and I want you to change them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it might be, you know, I'm just so angry, but I feel it in there, but I just don't know how to make it come out. I'll just tap, even though I'm so angry, but I can't access it. That's okay. I accept that. And I forgive myself for having all this anger and not being able to release it. And even though I've got this anger just boiling inside of me and it's keeping me stuck, I now choose to know that it's safe to release it. And then we'll just start tapping. And you do that on the karate chop point, and then you go to the other points on the face, on the torso, on the hands, while you say phrases pertaining to this anger, this boiling anger, this anger at, you know, my mother or whatever it is, and then it starts shifting, or they start getting in touch with what else is going on besides anger. Maybe the reason they haven't been able to let the anger out is because there's something else that has to be dealt with first. And it's just through the talking, through the tapping, you get closer and closer and closer, and finally they say, ah, this is what it's really about.
Mm.
And once you get there, you can let it out. And once you know what the emotion is, then I can do things with the meridian associated with that emotion while they're doing it, or just focus on tapping on that meridian point instead of hitting them all. There's just so many ways to incorporate it into the energy medicine.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, so it probably takes several sessions to really get all that emotional issue out. What do you think?
Depends on how deep it is. It depends on how long standing it is. And but yes, I mean, people are coming to you with issues that are lifelong or very long, and they need to be realistic. They can't expect that you're a magician and you're going to magically transform it in one session, two sessions, or even three sessions necessarily. We're all works in progress, aren't we? And we're all trying to get more and more balanced and find our way, be on our path and do what we're supposed to be doing.
And it could be multiple issues also. So you might get a, like we talked about before, you might get a piece of it on one level or one aspect of it, but you haven't gotten to another part that's very important.
Right.
Yeah.
We're complicated.
We
complicate our lives way more than is necessary. And I hope I'm not digressing here, but what I tell people is, it's not the fact that you have this illness or the fact that this situation made you angry that's creating the stress. It's the way you have described it or labeled it or judged it in your mind that creates the stress.
Yeah. And I think also, like we talked about before, a lot of this is in our subconscious, so we're not aware of it. And once, like the tapping, or once we start delving into it, we bring it into our conscious mind when we can really connect to it. And that's when we can do something with it, when it becomes...
Well, but we have to be careful, because when we try to solve it through the conscious mind, we're trying to apply logic and rational thinking to emotions which are not coming from any logical or any rational place. The emotion, it's the subconscious mind that governs the emotions. You can't get in touch with the emotional piece through the conscious mind. What you can do is then access it through the subconscious, inform the conscious mind of what it's been doing or how it's been reacting or affected by that, and then resolve to find another way to think about it, to be with it, to change an old belief system that's not working for you anymore. That's another question I often ask my clients when they say, well, you know, every time my wife, you know, accuses me of this, I get mad, I do this, da-da-da. Every time I go, yeah, well, how's that working for you? And they laugh. They say, not very well. So then how come every time she does this, you do that, if it's never worked for you? And they just stop and they look at me like, well, you know, I guess you have a point there. And so, you know, we really work with triple warmer, because triple warmer, as we know, is the keeper of our habits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we need to let triple warmer know that it's safe to do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe for us. It's safe for the other to do it differently. And to find a way to reframe a situation that we have labeled as awful to, what's the growth opportunity here?
Mm-hmm. What's the opportunity? What's the challenge for me to grow? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So maybe we have some time to talk about some specific cases to illustrate some of these concepts we've talked about.
I had a really interesting one. I just hope I can, like, recall how cool it was. But there was a client. Actually, she gave me permission to talk about her story, who was born with only one kidney. And she felt pain every day in the kidney that was there, but she also felt like an emptiness on the other side. And somehow in our conversation, and I can't remember all the exact details, but she mentioned how important it is to her to have symmetry, to have things balanced. You know, if you put something on this side, you've got to have something to balance it on the other side, and then her husband would always, you know, sort of joke about it. And she never connected that to the fact that she was missing a kidney on one side.
Wow, interesting.
So I thought that was really interesting. So she got it. She's, you know, because even with her decor in her house, you know, everything had to be symmetrical. So she said, well, maybe that's why I'm so bothered by having just one kidney. Even though health-wise she was doing fine with one kidney, she always sort of felt like something was missing, that she was missing something. Even though she lived a really normal life and everything else, she was married with children, but she felt lopsided, and she was very overprotective of the side that did have the kidney, which was always painful. So I said, well, why don't we just grow you a kidney on the other side? Why don't we just plant one? And she said, that's a great idea. I love that. And so we did this visualization where she I think it was like a garden, and we planted kidney seeds and watched it grow until she watched a full kidney develop there. And then we engaged the left kidney that really existed to educate the right kidney about what to do and how to perform. And she loved it. She just felt suddenly very special, and she felt love for her, both of her kidneys. And, you know, it was just transformative for her. But the best thing was that her pain stopped in the left side.
Oh, wow.
She stopped having pain in the kidney, and she stopped feeling lopsided. And, you know, it was just a glorious transformation for her.
Wow.
Right.
That's really very powerful, very imaginative
on your part. Right. Well, you know, it just, and these, you know, I'm a metal element, so these things just kind of pop, these ideas just kind of pop in my head. And, you know, and because when I'm in a session with somebody, I'm just there. I'm so focused. I have to be. Sometimes I hear myself saying, who just said that? You know, did that come from, out of my mouth?
How did I come up with that? Yeah.
Yeah, but I know I didn't come up with it. I know it's never me. Mm-hmm. I know that I am the vehicle for this, you know, universal wisdom. I invite all my teachers, masters, healers, ancestors, angels, guides, you know, to help me guide this session for the highest good of everybody involved.
Wow, that's beautiful. Do you have any other cases that you want to share?
Well, I could share another case about a woman who had long-standing problems with her one foot, and the foot was discolored. It was swollen, and she loved to walk and hike, and she was really limited on what she could do because there was so much pain in it. And first we connected it to her mother, who, again, talk about that secondary gain. Her mother always got a lot of attention because she was sickly. And so as a kid, she saw that, oh, the way you get attention is to not feel well. But the bigger part of it was tied into her ex-husband, who she was divorced from, but who still had some kind of energetic hold on her. It was almost like a ball and chain kind of a thing.
Mm.
And even though she had moved on sort of physically, she still didn't feel totally extricated from him. And so we did a lot of sort of role play dialogue about her saying what she wanted and needed to say to him without any fear of hurting feelings or repercussions or anything like that. And at the end of the session, when she stood up and we looked at her foot, it looked totally different.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't discolored. The swelling had gone down significantly. I mean, my jaw dropped because it was that dramatic.
Wow.
And it lasts, you know, I keep following. This was at the CP training, so I follow up, you know, afterwards to see, you know, how it's going. And it had maintained. You know, sometimes there's twinges of the pain back, but they say it's nothing like it used to be. And I say that if the pain comes back, that's your reminder. That's your body reminding you, you know, to set your boundaries or to nurture your kidney or whatever it is. And then now they're not pissed off when the pain comes back. It's their little alarm going off. What were you just thinking about? How have you not been nurturing yourself? How have you not been taking care of your needs?
Wow. Our bodies are amazing.
Yeah.
I just want to bring up a positive thought about holding emotions in our cells or our fascia. I mean, we could probably use this as a way to visualize our dreams or to make something happen that we really would like. I'm not sure whether that visualization is really what we're doing, holding energy into our cells about a dream. But so what do you think on that?
Bingo. I think you hit the nail right on the head, because most people, when they're trying to attract what they want, they try to see it, right? And not everybody's visual. People who are visual, great job. But I think even more important than that is try to access the feeling state of having it. Remember another time when you got what you wanted. Now imagine you've got that feeling as a result of having nailed that job or coming into that abundance, that financial abundance, or getting over this illness. Just remember a time when you felt totally healthy, totally at peace, totally fabulous. Get into the mindset of that and feel it in your body. It all comes back. Feel it in your body. If you can create the feeling state with the intention, that's where the law of attraction comes in.
Right, right. So that would be a good reason to hold on to energy in ourselves.
Yes, yes. And I also tell people, if we're energetically releasing something, if they have been holding their anger in their fists or in their chest or whatever, we get it out, and then let's put something back in there because that body part is used to holding this heavy thing. What can we put in there that would be more nurturing or more satisfying or fulfilling? People can put a song in there. They can plant a garden in there. They can put a color or a symbol or shape in there.
Oh, wow. That's
so that
really
there's
great.
There's no vacuum. There's no something's missing. You've replaced it with something positive, empowering, beautiful.
I think that is a great way to end this show. That is okay. Really beautiful. Donna Kemper is amazing. Her website is www.donnakemper.com. And my new website is www.energizeforjoy.com. Please come visit my website. There's free videos there for you to learn some very simple exercises. And also like my page, the Energy Medicine Optimal Health page. We want to start a community. Only a few of you have done that, so please do that so we can really find out what people want to find out about. And I can find somebody to interview about every topic, or I'll do it by myself. Okay, so thank you.
You're doing a great
service. Oh, it was wonderful, Donna.
Thank
you very much.
And I so appreciate it.
Okay, well, we appreciate you, and you had some really positive things to share, and I'm sure you've helped so many people with this discussion.
Oh, well, that would make me feel really good. Thank you.
Okay, so everybody, live radiantly. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in.